read in the scriptures this morning the beautiful fourth chapter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And as a follow-up to our conference this past weekend, we'll be looking this morning at verses 8 and 9. Reading God's Word in Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Rhodus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a savior, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. The saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's read our text, the beautiful words that I trust are familiar. Verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. This morning, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would have this beautiful word of Scripture wash us in our souls and equip us in our minds, that we would look into this Word of God, not only for its very soothing spiritual effect, but that we would look at this Word of God as being the filter, as being the parental control, as being the firewall to our minds concerning what we allow into our minds as those who are living in Jesus Christ. The battle of the Christian life is the battle for the mind. The war of Christianity is a war unceasing that goes on over the mind. As goes your mind, so also will go the entirety of your Christian life. It is of crucial importance that we fill our minds with that which is true and right in Jesus Christ, our Lord. The way God has made us is that what comes into our minds affects our hearts. That's very important. We are not simply emotional-based people, heart. But what our heart becomes is a result of what our mind has focused upon. All of our desires and all of our affections certainly come out of our heart and out of our emotions. But what shapes the heart is what comes into our mind. If garbage comes in, garbage will come out. If the truth by grace comes in, then the truth will come out. We read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." The mind affecting the heart, so is he. Our minds then are the front line of the battlefield of faith and of our spiritual life. The war is for the control of the mind. High thoughts of God in your life lead to high spiritual, principled living and worship. Low thoughts of God, focusing upon trivial, gutter things, evil things, and so will go our hearts. As goes the mind, goes our Christian life. As was also the theme this past Friday evening with the use of technology and media. This is the scripture. Our speaker referred to Romans 12, verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We are transformed from this world by the renewing of the mind. Ephesians chapter 4, 22 and 23, "That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and that ye be renewed in the spirit of your mind." What you learn, what you allow to come before your eyes and through your ears, is the crucial point in your Christian life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, "Set your affections," the word affection there is literally mind, "set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth." And then finally, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Gird up. Don't let your thoughts be flapping all over, but gird up your mind, your thoughts. That's something to, again, remember. Well, when you go to the internet this morning, I went there to check something about this persecution, and the pop-up immediately, the pop-up up in front was people who kill. And evidently, tonight there will be a premiere of a television program on people who kill. And then excerpts immediately were shown, tantalizing, to suddenly go for it. Gird up! When I turn on my computer, gird up the loins of your mind. And be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to us in Christ Jesus. And this is the emphasis of our text. The Apostle, the Holy Spirit, is calling us to godly thoughts and to what these thoughts will produce. He is bringing the epistle to a conclusion. He's been trying to do that since the third chapter. Finally, my brethren, chapter 3, verse 1. But as he seeks to conclude the chapter, the epistle, there's so many things that come to his mind that he wants to write to them because he loves them. But now he is actually finishing the epistle. Finally, verse 8, finally. And he brings up this important thing of your mind. And he brings this up for us not only for comfort and for that these verses are very soothing perhaps, but the Apostle Paul is not thinking simply of those times when we're going to lay back and just meditate. The Apostle Paul is thinking of the battlefield of persecution. He is being persecuted. He's thinking of the fellow Philippian saints on the battlefield of faith. And he's saying, you need to control, by God's grace, what comes into your mind. Think on these things. This becomes then the filter for our minds. Place these verses before your television watching, before your computer or internet surfing, before the music that you listen to, before your attendance at some concert, before whatever media. Think on these things. That's our theme. Think on these things. Let's ask three questions. What are we to think on? How do we do that? And why do we do that? Finally, brethren, says the apostle, and then the main exhortation is, finally, brethren, think on these things. And Paul is wrapping up, as I said, the beautiful epistle, and he is directing an exhortation to all of the brethren. Finally, brethren. And the word brethren is addressing us as those who have been born into the family of God by spiritual rebirth, by gracious regeneration or renewal of our hearts. Brethren, that is, we have been made the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ by virtue of receiving His Spirit into our hearts, the implanting of the life that is in the risen Savior Jesus Christ. Brethren, we are therefore new creatures in Christ Jesus, and in that new man in Christ, that new woman in Christ, is given the mind of Christ. He had spoken of the mind of Christ in chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, we read that we have received the mind of Christ. So he is addressing us as the brethren, as those who possess now the mind, the mentality, the thinking of Christ. And he says, brethren, you must think on these things that I list for you. These are the things that you must dwell upon. You must think upon. The word dwell, think on these things. That word is dwell or meditate or concentrate. If I use the Greek word, you'll get the idea of what the word think means in the text. The Greek word is logizo, logizomai, and immediately perhaps you hear the word logic. Well, he's not talking about light thinking. He's talking about the type of thinking when we say, you make my mind hurt. He's talking about logic. Literally, the word is a reference to math. Like what you have to think when you're learning algebra, the equations, and the calculus. And you need to think. You need to focus. You cannot be mentally lackadaisical. You need to think. Think hard. That's the word. Think. Concentrate. Focus. Focus on these things. And what's so interesting to us is that the command is concerning our mind. And how can you command the mind, we would say, as to what it's going to think? From the point of view sometimes of our pride and arrogance, we say, I'll think my own thoughts, thank you. Or from the point of view of how our minds can become so scattered. God is commanding our minds, and He may do that. He may command you and I what we are to focus on and think. He may do that. For He created the mind. It's His. He has redeemed us in Christ. It is His. He commands us by His grace. Now, this is what you need to focus on in your life. And then the apostle lists eight things, or eight categories, which are like a green light to our mind. These are things that are a green light. Go. Do. And the antithesis of these things are like a red light. Stop. Don't go there. The antithesis are not flashing yellows, but they're red. Stop. And they are eight things that we are to set before our mind or eye concerning what we would listen to, what we would hear, what we would read, entertainment, Facebook, technology, internet. These are the things that we set before us, before our mind. And the list that He gives is a timeless list. Every culture, every continent, and every century. Let's go through that list. The first is, whatsoever things are true. Brethren, whatsoever things are true. And true must be first here on the list. And true, those things that are true, are those things that are taught us in the Holy Scripture. For Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So the word true refers to that which is genuine, that which is real, that which is faithful, in distinction from that which is a lie, that which is false, that which is fake. And so think upon that which is true. Have your thinking be according to the lines of biblical and reformed biblical truth. The compromises of everything that God has taught, beware of those false teachings, but focus first upon and know sound, reliable, healthy, biblical, reformed teaching. Focus on the truth of the doctrines that lead unto godliness. Dwelling upon that which is false will bring the antithesis to this. So the first is, dwell upon truth in your life. Secondly, whatsoever things are honest or honorable, and the word is worthy of respect, or noble, high, lofty, dignified, majestic, and revered. All of this is honest. It's the opposite of unhonorable, dishonorable. In other words, Think of things on which God thinks highly. Think of things that are important to God. Get your mind off of the base and low things, out of the gutter of this sinful world, away from the trivial, from the frivolous, and from the empty. Think lofty thoughts. Think lofty thoughts of God, of what is pleasing to God. Don't think on those things that pull you down and drag you away from God, but think upon those things that are principled and upright and pleasing to God. Focus on what honors God and what will lead to a God-pleasing, Christ-pleasing life. Dwell upon that which is dishonorable, and your life goes into dishonor and ruin. There's a battle for our mind. In other words, the Word of God is saying, be careful who you allow behind the steering wheel of your mind. Who's holding the steering wheel? That's an important thing. Let it be true. Let the thing that are controlling your mind be honorable to God. And then he says just. The word just is right. And the word is a reference to scales of the balance. And on one side, this word looks at the weight of the righteousness and the holiness of God. And on the other side of the scale, this word looks at our thoughts. And are our thoughts heavy enough in righteousness and holiness on the scale of God and His righteousness and holiness? Are my thoughts this morning in harmony with the very character of the God I love and worship in Jesus Christ? Am I desirous that my thoughts square with God's character? If we focus on that which is wrong, on that which is unrighteous, then we will live wrong and we will practice unrighteousness. Our mind is like when you go to the bank. Everything you're seeing, reading, you're making a deposit. And what you put it in bears a compound interest. You get more out. Concentrate on that which is true, honest, just, pure. This word pure, whatsoever things are pure, is the word that is moral, or specifically sexual purity. You could translate it chaste. Fill your mind with that which is chaste, holy, pure. Fill your mind, and that's why focus. Fill your mind with the thought that your body is the creation and possession of Christ. Fill your mind that your body is the vessel in the house of God, like a vessel in God's house to be filled with Him, your body. Fill your mind with the thought that your body is a temple. The church is not this building. The temple of God is your body in whom the Holy Spirit dwells. Keep your mind unstained. When you go to a media device, use the figures of the book of Proverbs, speaking of a castle and of those who would break down this castle and pillage and rape the inhabitants. Think of your mind as that castle. and of what you're about to see now as seeking to tear down those walls in Christ and rape and destroy that which is of Christ. Keep your mind pure. The music that you listen to, uncontaminated with the depravities of man and the filth of the flesh, what your eyes are seeing. Do you want to live a pure life in Christ? We read in 1 John 3 that everyone who is of Christ wants to keep himself pure, even as Christ is pure. Well, then we need to remember that God has created our eyes and our ears as direct access. The eyes are like a window, and the ears are like a corridor right to your soul. Everything we see has left the mark on my soul that's with me today. Think upon that which is pure, pure in Christ. Then he says the word lovely. That word lovely means pleasing, attractive, beautiful. Things that express the wonder of the love of God. Things that express the goodness of God's grace. Do not think upon that which is raw and crude and ugly and abusive and evil. The evil laugh of sin. Focus on that which is attractive to God, that which expresses the truth of God. Contrary to this world, which wants you to focus on things that seduce you, things that tempt you, things that would pull you down to the dirty. Think upon that which is lovely. Then he says, good report. That word means highly regarded. Things that are of in good repute. Things that are credible, things that are respectable, things that are well spoken of, things that are fitting to think as a child of God concerning your place as a child of God and your high and lofty calling in Jesus Christ. The apostle says something very similar to this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, when he says, but fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, but rather the giving of thanks. And then he concludes with a summary statement, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise. That's not intended really to add two more, but it's really a summary statement. If there's anything that's virtuous, and if there's anything that's praiseworthy, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line for our thinking. That which is virtuous and praiseworthy in Christ. Virtuous is that which reflects the excellence of God. That which gives off the light of Jesus Christ. Put those things before your eyes. Anything that is virtuous. Children, you remember Jacob when he was with his father-in-law Laban? And after he had his two wives, Laban said, well, I'll pay you in cattle. And they made a deal that all, at least at first, that all and all of the cattle were brown. And Laban says, well, you can have all the ones that comes out speckled, two colors. And then you remember what Jacob did? He put in front of all of Laban's cattle peeled rods, speckled rods. Now, Jacob believed, perhaps a wives' tale, that this was going to influence the color of the calf. What they would look at would influence what the cow would give. That might have been a wives' tale. But there is this spiritual truth. What you look at is what is born in your life. You remember that all the suddenly Laban beholds that all the calves of his herds are changing into speckled. And then he changes it on Jacob 7 times. The point is, dwell upon that which is excellent, that which set that before your eyes. And that's what will come out of your life. And that word praise means to applaud. Let not what you applaud, what do you applaud? Do we applaud watching someone who's drunk and fornicating in the world's spring break parties? Is this what we applaud? Is this what we allow into our mind? No, we must look for those things that are applauded by, that God would say, that's good, that's praiseworthy. Does it pass what we're letting into our minds and through whatever device it is? Does it pass this test? Does God applaud of this? Is it praiseworthy? Does it lift my soul in joy to God? Think. God says, think. Focus on these things. Whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praiseworthy thing, think on these things. And we say, Lord, how? And the problem is obvious. And this is the trenches. This is the front line of the battle of faith in Jesus Christ. The church in Korea is persecuted with the sword, but we are on the front lines of the control. There will be no need for persecution if we fail in this battle of the control of our mind in Christ Jesus. If we fail here, the sword of persecution will never come to us. It won't be necessary. This is important, and it's hard. For we are now in a cesspool of iniquity to control the mind, to turn the world. The devil does not want one pure thought. What is it all about? What is the world all about? They may not admit it, but this is what the world is about. The devil does not want one pure thought about the living God of this Bible to arise from the earth. He doesn't want that. Not one. He wants the mush of selfishness. He wants the conformity to evil. He wants to control the thinking of men. Now, we cannot go out of the world because we carry the world in my own flesh. Therefore, I must be equipped. I must be equipped with the entire Word of God and with a humble heart and with a Christ-serving heart, and use all things that God has given to His honor and to His glory. We know that the access of evil, which is always right here in my heart, I don't need to be tempted. I have evil already in my heart. But the access is there. Cable television, hundreds of channels, surfing the net, smartphone. How? Now we must use all these things to the glory of God. How? And the answer, the problem is plain. The answer is also plain. Let the Word of Christ, Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to God in your hearts. Now I want you to notice in our text that the apostle teaches us how we are to think on these things in verse 9. The bridge between verses 8 and 9 is obvious. Think on these things, verse 8, verse 9, those things, that is the same thing, these things that he just mentioned are those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. And if you boil that down, if you think about that, Paul is saying, these things, you are able to think upon them in the way of their being taught you. You need to be taught these things. And in the way of these things being played out, having an example of those things. The first two, those things you have learned and received, that is, there was right teaching. The next two, you have heard and seen in me, that is, there was a godly example. So, first of all, there was the right teaching. They learned whatsoever things you have learned. Paul preached and Paul taught these things while he was in Philippi. You've learned them from me, he could say. So our spiritual reading of the Word of God, our own devotions, and our church attendance, But it must be conscious, active church attendance. You must think. When we read our Bibles, we must think. There must be a seeking to grow in knowledge and in truth. A worship service in which we are laying hold of in our mind the truth that is in Christ Jesus. And therefore, you must be taught through preaching that is exposition of the Word of God. If you are to think these thoughts, you must have sound biblical teaching in your life, not fluff. So to speak, the truths of our faith are like the rafters of a house, the pillars of a house. And now, if those rafters aren't strong, a lot of people are very concerned about the weight of the snow, and we've seen the whole business cave in. Well, that's the way it is with our faith. That's the way it is with what we know and the truth that we cherish in the heart. We know and cherish in the heart. They become the rafters under the deluge of what the devil wants us to think. And Paul says, not only have you learned them, but you have received them. Now, what does it mean that they have received these things? Well, they received it in this epistle. They received the Word of God. Paul wrote it out for them. They had good teaching, and they had received the Scriptures, the truth. And along with that goes reading and exposing ourselves to good books and good articles and good theology. We must receive. We must receive the Christian faith. We must immerse ourselves. We must encourage this. But then Paul says in the next two that they had not only been taught and received, but it had been played out. There was an example. You have heard and seen in me. They had heard. The Philippian believers had heard the news about Paul. An example. The examples that we leave for others and the examples that were left for me have been so powerful in their influence in the way that I think. The way that I think and that you think is not just from what you have been taught. It is equally from the examples that you have seen of that teaching. Paul says, you've heard about me. You've heard in this epistle that I am in Caesar's dungeon. You have heard further, the first chapter, that since I've been in prison, other people in the church who have spite against me have been saying bad things about me. You have heard that the way I've been kept in the prison is not very nice. And in this chapter, you're very concerned about sending me a gift, maybe a blanket over me, because I'm cold in that dungeon. You've heard about all this, and you have heard how I have responded to this, and how I have confessed that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I can abound in want. You have seen a powerful example. Powerful examples shape the way children and young people and we think. And Paul says, you have seen it. You have seen it in me. This was not a put on, Paul's example. You have seen my attitude, my talk, my walk, my actions. You've seen it in me. And then Paul says, now, you've seen the example. Do it. Practice it. These things do. What you have heard, what you have received, what you have been taught, and what you have seen in me, follow that. We need good teaching. We need good example in our church. If we are to be a congregation thinking that which is pleasing to God, if we are to think, if you, this is God's word, if you as His child are to think right in this world and not be seduced by the spirit of the age, you and I need to have the right teaching from the pulpit and the right example. Let me emphasize this morning the right example. Let me emphasize that, first of all, in the church, the Bible would teach us that that's the office of pastor and of elder and deacons. What is that office? They are to be examples of sound thinking, of right thinking, of purity, of honesty, of good report, of truth. Examples as shepherds of the flock. So that the office bearers, the deacons, the elders, and the pastor say, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. He had said in the third chapter, what we saw last morning, brethren, verse 17, brethren, be followers together of me. Follow me. Follow my example. And who is sufficient for that? Our sufficiency is of God. But then we broaden out, according to Scripture, who are the next examples, so to speak, down the line? Men in Scripture. Not discrediting women now, but men are to be exemplary. And they are to be exemplary as leaders. Leaders in the church, leaders in the home, leaders in the school, of those who focus on these things, think upon these things, whose minds are centered in these things, not all over but focused upon these things that are in Jesus Christ. What is a leader? A leader is someone who follows Christ. A leader is, I'm going to use the word, incarnation of Christ. You see a reflection of Christ in that man. A leader is someone whose mind is focusing on these things that I do, I think, I reflect Christ. Such men are needed more than ever in church and marriage and home. How? Sound teaching, sound example, godly thinking, godly living. And then remember, godly example is as important as right thinking. Because this is caught as well as taught. That's what I meant when I said that my mind spiritually has been affected powerfully by the examples that were before me as a little boy. It's caught as well as taught. And the peace of God shall be with you. The promise is that thinking upon these things, we will have as our companion the peace of God. The apostle here does not say peace with God, that is the removal of our transgressions so that there's harmony between us and God, but he says the peace of God. The peace that God has in himself. God is a God of peace. There's no anxiety, there's no fear in God. There's perfect tranquility. His peace will be my presence of my life. And that presence will give me calmness, will calm me, and courage. Right thinking leads to godly living. We must not leave the door of our mind open to sin. When sin moves in through my eyes, through my ears, when sin moves into me, peace moves out. And with sin comes into me discouragement, depression, loss of joy, and frustration. God says, let your mind focus on these things. And so we pray this morning with all of our heart, and we should pray every day with all of our heart, guard thou my thoughts, I thee implore. Let my thinking be acceptable to thee. Amen. Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Though it is spoken in weakness this morning, yet be pleased to use it in power. Take these verses, Lord, as our filter, as our firewall of the mind, as we go forth in this week, that we may, by thy grace, be focused in our mind to think these things after thee, in order that through thy truth, in a believing mind, our hearts may be turned and affected toward thee. Since we cannot do it, so do in us by thy grace. Amen.